Hello and welcome to today's episode of Pub Chat. I'm your host, Colin Enquist. I'm here with Adrian Trimble, my lovely co-host.
Hello, feeling lovely.
And today we are joined by Jared Falk, my favorite ginger.
Oh, hey guys.
I'm trying to think if I know any other gingers. I probably do.
You starred in a short film with one.
Oh, Brennan.
And another one.
Oh, Heather. Well, I haven't really seen it, so... Fair enough. I like you guys, but
more of a bottom half ginger and an upper half, you know.
See, when I grow my beard, regular. When I usually, like when I have it,
yeah.
Like normal, it does get a little bit of ginger in it.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Only place on my entire body that does.
It's just your.
It's an upper ginger.
An upper ginger.
The face ginger. I don't know that.
So today we're going to be drinking the Stone Collaboration Woot Stout. Between Drew Curtis, Greg Koch,
yes, Coke, Greg Koch, that's how it's pronounced.
Greg Koch, and Will Wheaton, and we're going to be talking about coffee, because Jared is a coffee expert, and I need to learn more about coffee.
Expert's a little bit of a stretch.
I don't know, given the amount of utensils and devices in my kitchen at the moment, I think that's fairly accurate.
We'll go with aficionado at best.
Okay.
You're an expert compared to us.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't take a lot. But yeah, sure.
You're not wrong.
I'll take it.
Not co-host first?
Never the co-host first. Jason, pour your own.
My nasal passes are all blocked up, so you're going to have to tell me what kind of aromas we're talking about here.
Okay. Well, it's a 13% Imperial Stout. So I'm hoping
that
will
strong?
Yeah, I'm hoping Holy that God. Will open up your
I can smell that. Batch
passages.
Wow.
Yeah.
One more.
I'm gonna say it's a little bit boozy, but I can't actually tell.
Actually, the nose isn't as strong as I remembered. It's actually mellowed quite a bit.
Well, it's been aging now for what?
About a year.
Yeah, almost a year now that I've had this. So that makes sense.
It's like sweet toffee and like the dark fruits and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like cherries and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
It's a very.
I can pull the sweetness here, yeah.
Yeah.
Really good at. No coffee.
No. Good choice, guys.
Yeah. The plan was for a coffee stout, and then we realized none of us have coffee stouts in our cellars, and none available in Manitoba.
Yeah. So we'd literally have to leave the province just to fulfill that request.
Mm-hmm. That's not a problem.
That's fine. We'll do that. Just for one episode of something that we don't get paid for. Okay, can we try it?
Yeah, you can drink it.
Yeah, you can drink it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's still boozy.
It is.
Not as boozy as the last bottle, for sure.
I get a little licorice.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of licorice, actually.
Like I said, I'm at half performance today. So
there's a lot of fruitiness and, you know...
It's like vanilla, too.
And cherries, and vanilla, and toffee, and like a burnt kind of caramel flavor.
Mm-hmm.
A lot going on.
This is good. This is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mellow, like it's come together really nicely.
It's a little creamy too on mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Stone has been around since about 96, and they've expanded year after year after year. And I think they're in the top 10 for like craft brewers in the States now.
In terms of size?
Yeah.
Oh, easily. Yeah. They must be.
They're available in like 45 states or something like that. So it's fairly common to find their beers.
And the ones that they're not available in, you don't want to be in anyway.
Probably.
They've been doing the collaboration series since 2008. And they've done some really nice stuff. We tried the coconut IPA, I believe, at Buncey's once. And the prune, whatever the latest one they did, is really good too.
Yeah,
and Kevin brought that back from New Orleans. Have you ever had many Stone beers? I guess you probably did in Portland.
Yeah, no, we had a couple in Portland. The Double Bastard is one that I quite like, actually.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's not bad. Regular Bastard, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the double is quite boozy compared to single Bastard. Is it regular Bastard, single Bastard?
I think it's just Arrogant Bastard.
Arrogant Bastard. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bastard.
The Bastard, the Bastard. But no, very good. Had a bottle of that maybe a couple months ago. That was... it wasn't aged. That was pretty fresh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this beer is brewed with a wheat, because apparently Will Wheaton puts wheat in all of his homebrews, so they kind of kept with that tradition from his homebrewing.
Okay.
And then they brewed it with pecans and rye malt, because Drew Curtis is from Kentucky, and apparently pecans and rye malt are big in Kentucky.
Okay.
So
also bourbon.
Rye malt makes sense.
That is why it is bourbon barrel aged.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Does it say what kind of barrel it was at all?
I did not see that. I'm just going to assume some kind of Kentucky bourbon barrels. That
makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Since the old bourbon is from Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what I've had. Stone, their Imperial Russian Stout.
Mm.
Good. I think we had that in Minneapolis 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Their Ruination, obviously.
Yeah, the Ruination 10 was really nice.
The Ruination 10 was delicious. Ugh. I want to go on a road trip now.
Go visit Stone.
Yeah.
They have, like, some phenomenal pub spaces, actually, I think. I saw on their Instagram account, they've got, like, a suite set up near one of the baseball parks. And,
okay.
Where is it? I don't know. I got to find it on their Instagram account, but it's phenomenal. It looks great. Like, it's a sweet little brew pub just set up there. And
do they have, like, lots of brew pubs?
I'm not sure how many, but, like, on their website, they've got a link to, I think, two bistros and pubs that they love, that they own, I assume, or they're, like, partners with or whatever, right. So.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, they're also one of the breweries that has their own farm for growing hops and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's very in vogue now.
Yeah, all the big breweries are doing it, essentially. And I'm curious if a lot of them are just because, like, they're buying them from the same farmers. Are they just buying out the farmers? And
I don't know, because you can't just be like, hey, I own a field, and then next week have some hops growing in it.
Exactly.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
That, or they're kind of starting the farms and then, like, not really telling anybody about it, and then kind of gradually building it up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And, I mean, some of them don't have massive farms or anything like that, but...
Mm-hmm. And Rogue's been doing that for years upon years already, too.
Yeah, I think they were one of the first. New Belgium as well, that grows a lot of their hops.
Yeah.
The bar in that, like, the bar area looks like the bar on the tavern rooftop.
Yeah. Looks pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Yep. I'd get into baseball and go drink there if that was the case.
You could not pay me to get into baseball, but the thing is, I would absolutely drink that.
You're alienating all of your American listeners.
Yeah. But the thing is, every, like, major league stadium has a great craft beer selection, and they serve great food.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like...
Have you been to the Gold Eye Stadium?
Yeah, it's all right.
There's no great beer or food.
You can get Fort Gary.
Okay. This is actually at Petco Park, where the Padres play. So that's phenomenal to be... In a baseball.
Is it cheap to go to a baseball game in the States?
It depends on where you want to sit. Like,
you're going to see.
If I'm going. No.
When we were looking into tickets. Irrelevant. The Minneapolis trip, we were looking into tickets. We could get cheap tickets for, I think it was $25.
Yeah,
and when we were in Chicago looking into a Cubs game, although it was Lollapalooza week and it was packed, we could still get tickets for like $40.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not bad for
three hours
of entertainment.
One day in a city that, like, has a baseball team in NBA?
And an NBA team?
Or whatever, I don't know.
Are there lots of NBA teams? Hold on, I just need to clarify. Are you assuming that the NBA is the governing league for baseball? Or
was my question, I guess.
Okay.
That was kind of inferred.
Oh, I see.
It's not, is it?
No, basketball. It's basketball. There you go, yes.
MLB?
Yes.
Yes!
Okay. I want to go to a town that has good craft beer, an MLB team.
Huh.
With cheap ticket, I don't care about where I sit. I'm not gonna watch.
You realize that there's
and then just drink beer.
A baseball team called the Milwaukee Brewers, right?
Oh, we're gonna go there.
Yes,
he does now.
You do. Yeah, now. There you are.
I think we need to go.
And they're relatively close to Green Bay as well too. Yeah,
Wyoming.
Wisconsin. You're correct. Right. Yes.
Okay,
we could drive there.
We could
be a problem.
Yeah.
Drive there. MLB game.
Yeah, go visit. Was it? New Glarus, there in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, old Milwaukee, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then go home.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody else can pay for it.
Mm.
That's fair.
So if any listeners want to pay for a trip to Wisconsin.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter.
Oh, man.
Well, should we move on to coffee before we talk more sports?
I think we should do that because I don't really know.
Yeah, anyone who's following Colin's
baseball is the one where it's basically men playing rounders, except they wear really tight trousers, right?
I understood.
So what type of coffee do you drink normally, Jared?
They're not going to let me back into America now.
So what type of coffee do you drink normally, Jared?
Well, I don't know that there is a normal coffee that I drink. I change it up every week, pretty much. Yeah. Right now, I think we have a El Salvadorian coffee that I brought along today.
Okay.
And it's actually one that was roasted here in Manitoba from a upstart roaster out in Gimli. Called Flatland Coffee Roasters. I've never tried any of the stuff there before, so I just popped the bag open today, so we'll give it a shot and see how it tastes, actually. I'm usually a little wary about upstart coffee roasters, as they are very, very similar to upstart craft brewers.
Okay.
In that maybe they don't always have all the kinks worked out right off the bat.
That's fair.
So it'll be a bit of an experiment and a bit of a try and see, but... let's hope for the best.
Okay, so with wine, you kind of have regions and grapes.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, with beer, you have styles and, to an extent, like breweries.
Hop strains and malts.
What is the kind of the...
I think designation for coffee.
Yeah, like how do you look at a bunch of different coffees and say, well, you know, I'd rather have that one over that one.
Yeah, no, it's pretty it's very similar to grapes or wine, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
So you have varieties of coffee, just as you have varieties of grapes. So pretty much 100% of coffee originated in Africa, and from there are two kind of main different varieties, I suppose. There's Typica and Arabica. And those are split off into probably 30, 40. It keeps growing different varieties, different strains.
Okay. So you can say that those are like the red and the white.
Yeah.
And then you have...
Sure. And each has their own different characteristic. And then as they, depending on the region that they're grown in and the elevation that they're grown at as well too, again, you'll see a lot of really acidic coffees coming out of Africa. In Ethiopia and Kenya, you'll see a lot of those kind of really, really acidic coffees, which are kind of more of the purer strains. And then as you go into, let's say, El Salvador or Bolivia and into Costa Rica and those kind of areas, you'll see a lot more of like the caramel chocolate characteristics that come out of coffee strains there. So it's really the parallels to wine and to beer tasting are very, very similar when you get to a you know, actually start paying attention to it.
Right.
Right. Most people, just like beer drinkers, are lab light beer drinkers as opposed to...
So Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons coffee drinkers, right? Exactly. So same kind of idea.
Yeah. And I guess it's funny because I would, you know, I don't drink Tim Hortons. I can't.
Right.
Because I feel ill.
Sure.
But, you know, at the same time, I don't know shit about coffee.
No, I feel the same way.
I go to Starbucks. I go to, like, whatever, you know. Whatever local coffee shop, but I have no idea why I buy it.
Yeah, and one of the biggest misconceptions that people make when they're buying coffee is that they assume the coffee is shelf stable, and it's not.
Right.
Generally, you have about a month after it's roasted to actually be able to, grind it up and brew it before you start losing those characteristics rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the coffee that you're buying at the grocery store is stale.
Been sitting there for a while.
And been sitting there for a while already. Yeah. So even if it says it was, you know, a decent bean to start off with, it was a decent bean a year ago when it got packaged.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a learning curve, I guess, too, to know what you're actually getting.
So if you were to buy, like, fresh beans from Starbucks, would that be considered, like, not so fresh still?
Put it to you this way. If the coffee bag that you buy doesn't have a roasted on this date on it.
Yeah.
There's no point.
Okay, that's fair.
And that's kind of your biggest tell is to determine whether or not they actually care about it
in
the first place. So,
okay. So, which is kind of like beer, really. I mean, most people wouldn't.
You're gonna look at the brew date on an IPA for sure.
Absolutely, but kind of, you know, regular beer drinkers drinking you know, crappy swill, they wouldn't pay any attention to when it was brewed. They would just assume that whatever is on the shelf is drinkable.
Right.
Yeah.
And if they had a couple of bottles laying around for a few months, they wouldn't bat an eyelid at drinking them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty much the case. And, like, I mean, in the same way that, I guess, beer is made, and wine is made, and bourbon is made, and these kind of things. There are different processes to brewing coffee, I suppose. Each, again, with different kind of, you know, you bring out different characteristics in the coffee then as well, too. So what I brought along today is called a Chemex, and it basically just looks like a big glass vase.
Well, I thought that we were going to start making some methamphetamine, and I got really excited.
We can also do that if we need.
Should we put on crystal persuasion or what?
The Chemex, it's kind of funny because it was actually developed probably in the 40s, 50s or so by an actual legit chemist who was looking to like try and find a better way to brew coffee. And it kind of just sat around as like this sort of niche item for years upon years. And only now is it starting to see a resurgence with third wave coffee becoming popular anyway. So third wave coffee is kind of, if we take, for example, Starbucks being second wave coffee, and understanding that as being the second wave, third wave would be the more artisanal coffee shops. Yes, like those kind of things, right? And then starting direct trade beans with between the roaster and the farmer, you know, going through middlemen and those kind of things. So, yeah, so it's become more and more popular that way because it's an affordable way to brew really good coffee at home.
Is that kind of the way you'd recommend people like me who are getting into it to start?
It's a little expensive to because you also have to get a specific kettle, a gooseneck kettle, which is a slow pour kettle, to actually do the whole process properly as well.
Okay.
And then you're looking at a scale and a timer and thermometers and
like homebrewing beer.
Yeah, I would suggest getting a decent grinder as well too, a burr grinder, and you're in $400 already.
Okay.
I looked at burr grinder and I was like, too steep for my pocket.
It's not the most accessible way to get into it.
Yeah.
The most accessible way to get into it I found has been a thing called AeroPress. Which is a pretty travel-packed kind of idea. And there's lots of different ways to brew with an AeroPress. There's tons of tutorials online. But it's mostly just like a plastic cylinder with a filter at the end. And all it really does is allow you to control the different elements of brewing coffee rather than letting a machine do it for you. That's really all it allows you to do. And it works great. You can pull off espresso-like beverages with it. I'm not going to say that they are espresso, even though that it is technically supposed to what it's what it was designed to replicate.
Right.
It's nowhere near that. Right, and you can brew entire, just like one cup of coffee at a time in it as well, too. So
it's basically a Tassimo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is. That's what
it's a Keurig without the disposable pods.
Yeah. All right. And thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
This is the bit where Jared hates me. For the record, I hate those machines for a number of reasons.
Okay.
The coffee is disgusting, obviously.
There's that,
There is the environmental aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I... Like, I drink way too much coffee. I don't need to be throwing out, like, half a dozen pods of fucking plastic every day.
Right, there's that, too.
There's also the fact that it tastes disgusting.
We had that as A.
But it's worth mentioning.
Okay.
And it's fucking expensive.
There's also that.
Like, I am sure over the course of, I don't know, like 100 cups of coffee, your whole Chemex thing would be way
cheaper? Than, more tolerable as well, too.
Yeah, even though you got, like, four times the cost of, like, you know, the initial, like, machinery, whatever.
Yeah.
Tools.
Yes.
And more expensive coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Still going to taste bad. And it would probably be not as expensive.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a rarity in that I don't really care that much about espresso and lattes and pouring fancy pictures in my coffee.
Yeah.
I just more straight black coffee, and that's what I really enjoy.
Me too. So. I love espresso.
I love espresso too. Yeah.
I drink a lot more, agree with you. We have an espresso maker at work, and I drink a lot of it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I just drink black coffee. I don't care.
Although I love the Americanos at Parlor, and that's probably
being said, if you're going into a cafe and they have $20,000 worth of espresso maker there, you should probably spend your money on that because that's not something you can get at home.
That's true.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This beer is really good.
Yeah, I do like
it. Especially as it warms. Colin has not got much left.
I'm drinking it really quick, actually.
It's so tasty. I'm getting a lot more of the vanilla notes out of it.
Yeah, the cherry's coming out a lot more, too.
Yeah. And yeah, you get, you're right. You get a lot more of the vanilla and like the burnt kind of something in the taste.
Mm-hmm. And which actually, from what I understand, this the coffee that we should be we will be enjoying later on should actually be into that caramel, really chocolatey kind of kind of coffee as well too. Mm-hmm. So maybe it'll pair nicely with this beer. Yeah. I don't know that I know anyone who pairs beer with coffee well.
Well, that's why we're gonna drink the beer first,
right? Yeah, it's a good idea.
Move on to the coffee.
Yeah,
and make breakfast. Yeah, we're gonna have breakfast for dinner. Yeah, absolutely. It's always the best thing to do.
Yeah. And why? Well, you gotta have breakfast with coffee. So
what is that? Yeah.
That is a factor. Oh, beer.
So how much coffee do you drink a day? Because I know he drinks like 4 pots.
See, I actually don't drink that much coffee in a day. I make a cup for myself in the morning, and usually a cup for myself around noon-ish or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
quality over quantity.
Yeah, but like, I mean, that being said, there are 2 people that live in my house, and we both do the same. So between my wife and I, we end up going through about a bag a week. And a bag is usually, for the stuff we buy, is sold in 3/4 pounds. It goes pretty quickly. That's, 18 to 20 bucks a bag.
Right.
That's how much we spend on coffee, not, including equipment costs, but,
yeah.
And generally neither of us go out for coffee ever when we can just both make it at home.
That's fair.
Considerably better than wherever else we can find it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, fair enough.
So when you're buying beans, do you always just try new things? Kind of like when we buy beer and stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Same kind of idea.
Mm-hmm.
And although there are not such fancy things as Untappd for coffee, I do have a catalog at home of labels and coffees that I've tried over.
Okay.
I started doing that probably about 2.5 to 3 years ago. So,
how many uniques do you have for
do I have? They're actually, I think I only have a cup. Of doubles. Like, I mean, again, they change, year to year and roast to roast.
Yeah.
But they can be from the same lot or the same farmer and those kind of things as well, too.
Okay.
And then as you get into some of like, most third wave coffee roasters anyway, are roasting based on direct trade. So basically they are invested in a farm, let's say in Colombia or Bolivia,
mm-hmm.
and they go down there, have a buyer that goes down there and buys beans directly from the farmer. It's not a fair trade deal. There's not like an interbody in between there. So it's just kind of based on a trust kind of thing. And also, as the coffee roasters need, I guess they need a guarantee of a better crop. It's beneficial for them to pay more for their coffee and invest more so that, the farm can actually keep on producing high quality coffee, right? So it's just really a pretty beneficial trade-off. But as we get into Ethiopia, where some of the best coffee in the world is grown, it's actually controlled by what's best defined as like what the wheat board used to be in Canada.
Mm-hmm,
it's called the Ethiopian Coffee Exchange or the ECX. So it's a little hard to trace where the coffee came from.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of word of mouth for different things. And there's varieties, different like grades of coffee as well too that you can buy. But it becomes a little bit harder to trace where the coffee's coming from.
So you could get some really great coffee and you could get some really shitty coffee.
Yeah, basically you have to have a really good buyer and a really good seller that have a good relationship there. And that's usually the case with most people anyway. Okay. So, yeah. But yeah, usually the bags of coffee that I get anyway will have the farmer or the farm's name stamped right on it. So you know exactly where the hell you're getting it from. Yeah, so
that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. I guess it's the same way as having a brewery who grows their own malts and everything like that. And that way, that came from that, and that's how we can tell these characteristics. And,
yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And so, where in Winnipeg would you get your coffee? Like, do you? I assume you get it all from stores rather than like online or anything like that.
Oh yeah, I have bought online before. Yeah, but so there are a bunch of different coffee shops in Winnipeg now.
Mm-hmm.
Parlor and Little Sister and Tom Bargain and
they all sell coffee to take home.
They do, yeah. They do all sell beans there. And we've kind of got a decent representation of really good coffee in Canada from Canadian roasters anyway. Phil and Sebastian is sold kind of in Winnipeg as well. They're from Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Really good reputation across Canada. One of their baristas recently was the Canadian Barista Champion. Mm-hmm. And then we've got 49th Parallel out of BC,
mm-hmm.
Another really good name. Detour out of Ontario, which is really good. You can buy that here. And there's lots of things, you know, that get brought in on a piece-by-piece basis as well, too. Sort of like the LC brings in stuff on limited run.
Now we get, like, excited if there's a good beer coming that we know that's going to be available here. Is the same thing with coffee? You keep track of what's, you know, what might be coming down the pipe? Show
up. Yeah, if you, like, I mean, if you have a good relationship with people who are doing, like, the owners of the stores and those kind of things, yeah, you can tell what's going on. Or what's going to be coming down. But at the same time, too, the roaster may only have five varieties of coffee that they have there, and then you pick from that and what you think is going to sell well or those kind of things, too. So it's a little bit tricky, and it's very seasonal because, you know, some harvests are ready at different times of the year based on the region and where they're
right, as well, too. So. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And how long does it take to get coffee from, you know, wherever in the world it's grown to roaster to you?
Well, I mean, the growing season can vary based on climate as well, too, but I'd say average growing season, and then from there, it goes through processing, which is usually done at the actual farm itself, and so beans are processed in a couple different ways, so usually it's actually like a cherry fruit kind of idea that's around the bean in the first place, and that gets picked off of the, it gets picked off of the tree, and then from there, it can get dried, or that kind of mucus can get washed away partially or altogether. Sometimes they leave it on a little bit. It's like a little sweeter on the outside of the bean as well, too. And then from there, they can be dried, sun-dried, air-dried on racks and those kind of things. And those beans are kind of like a greenish-gray, kind of waxy on the outside.
Right.
And then that can get shipped. It can sit for a little while. Now, obviously, you don't want it to sit for too terribly long. And then goes to the roaster. And then from the roaster, it should be from out of the roaster and into your cup, usually within about 5 days.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So that's generally going to be the case. Coffee right off of roast is really, really kind of weird. There's lots of CO2 still trapped in the coffee bean. That's you want to let off gas a little bit first before you actually start brewing it. You'll see if you have a bean that's really, really fresh and you start brewing it, you'll see a lot of gas coming off of it. Yeah. So... you usually want to let it sit for, you know, 4, 5, 6 days before you actually start roasting it after, or brewing it after roast. But you can expect kind of a turnaround from plant to your house in, I don't know, 3/4 of a year kind of thing. So.
Oh, it's that long?
Yeah, well, like from seed to, you know, from growing season. But again, the growing seasons are kind of repetitive in those areas as well, too. Yeah. So it's a little tricky to... give you a full, I don't work on the farm, so.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Juan Valdez, I am not.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm psyched about coffee now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've roasted your own beans before, correct?
Oh, very shittily, yes.
Yeah, but, so what kind of, what is that process for somebody that wants to kind of do it at home?
Or try it?
Yeah, well, to try it, like, I mean, there's lots of places that sell green beans unroasted. Like, they just, let's say they bring in a shipment from someplace.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, here in...
I love doing shit.
Yeah. A place called Green Bean here in Manitoba. Uh-huh. Johnny's Java in Winkler has a roaster. They have a roasting company as well called Other Brother Coffee. And they sometimes will do some off sales of green beans as well, too. Huh. You can probably get some at pretty much any of the coffee roasters here will sell you a little bit on the side from unroasted stuff. So
really? Okay, that's cool.
But basically, the most common form of roasting at home is with an old popcorn popper.
Really?
Yeah. So you can usually roast about 85, you know, to 100 grams at a time, depending on the size of your popcorn popper. But then it usually takes about 4 to 5 minutes in the popcorn popper, and that actually has the right amount of temperature to actually roast properly. And it also, because it spins, it actually, you know, gets a full roast kind of around the same way a full size commercial coffee roaster is able to spin the beans while it's roasting at the same time. And then you'll kind of go through a couple different processes or a couple different stages. There's a first crack and second crack, which is an actual audible crack in the coffee bean itself.
Okay.
And then that's kind of how you can gauge where the coffee is at as far as, you know, light to dark and medium to those kind of roasts. So, I prefer a lighter roast myself. Some people prefer a dark roast. I feel that you're just roasting the shit out of all the characteristics that the coffee has in it and kind of ruining it, but that's why I prefer a light roast. But
fair enough.
It's each to their own.
And there's something... Dark roast has less caffeine, is that right? less because it's burnt off.
Yeah.
Well, there's not much difference.
Well, like, I mean, the difference is negligible. People will talk about it for years upon years, but you're still drinking coffee and still caffeine. So.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a 12% beer and an 11.5%.
Yeah. Largely, that's your difference, yeah. Right? So
I am loving these beer analogies because it makes it much easier for me to understand.
Yeah. there's a lot of comparisons, actually. So
yeah.
But
that's great.
Which like this beer. Like this beer.
Yeah. Like, I can't keep up with you guys, so I got to do my own thing. So,
yeah, you definitely, every day when you would walk into class with your coffee, I was like, fuck, I'm drinking just shitty coffee most of the time.
I do drink bad coffee.
Especially, I mean, I don't drink Tim's coffee, but
coffee I drink is... I'm solidly second wave.
Yeah. Solidly second
wave. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
First wave would be ground up powdered Folgers that you can buy
instant coffee,
plastic container at 5 kilos for $5. So
oh geez, yeah, no, not that bad.
Just largely just old dirt and
half
of it's really shittily roasted barley that they just dump.
Is it really?
No, it's not.
that wouldn't surprise me.
But that being said, my grandma actually, my family grew up as pretty poor farmers, and my grandma has stories of. When they didn't have coffee in the house, they would just roast a shit ton of barley really, really dark, grind that up, and make a coffee-like beverage out of that.
What did it taste like?
Well, I'm assuming pure shit, but it was warm and sort of like coffee in the morning. And
so it was more for like the repetition of doing it than the actual
exactly, like, right?
Caffeine and stuff.
Right.
Okay. I can see that.
Just like some senior citizens will drink warm, hot, or hot water now instead of coffee if they can't have coffee anymore, right? Yeah. It's more of a, oh, I wanted a warm beverage, and this is...
Senior citizens will do that?
Oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't you put, like, lemon or honey or something?
Well, they do that sometimes, too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
When I was at Yellow Dog, before you showed up the other day, there was a table of, like, older people, like, eating, and they all asked for hot water with lemon.
Huh.
And I was like, you came to the pub to get hot water and lemon? Okay.
To each their own, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, one of them got a beer, so...
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that was probably the person that said, let's go to Yellow Dog.
Yeah, exactly. And then when they all ordered lemon and water, was embarrassed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the other thing I was going to parallel for you, too, in coffee, is that largely coffee, and in the third wave variety anyway, will also have tasting notes straight on the actual bag itself.
Uh-huh.
So, again, same as beer, right? I think this one... Like, I mean, some of the more acidic coffees, you'll get a lot of grapefruit notes out of it, that kind of thing. With this one that we have here, I think it was caramel, stone fruit, and... Oh, I can't remember what the next one was. But anyway, they all have different kind of...
And where's this one from?
El Salvador.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Did you have a specific, like, style, I guess, of coffee then? Like, with those tasting notes that you would prefer?
That I prefer? I like mine with a little bit of more in the darker, like the caramel, the chocolates kind of thing, more of the South American coffees.
Mm-hmm.
But then some of them that are grown kind of at a bit of a lower elevation have a little more acidity in them as well, too. So that's kind of where I'm really, really
like. Well, you're kind of a mix of the two.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of get the best of both worlds for some of them.
Okay.
Some of the more acidic coffees are really bright and really crisp and really, it's too much for me in the morning. I really would just like a nice mellow cup and not smacking me in the mouth as soon as I get up. So.
And obviously it's shitty coffee, but where would most kind of first, second wave coffee kind of, where would that fall?
Like as to
where it's come from and what if it's Arabica or whatever.
Okay. So. Largely, you're going to get basically just the very, we can't really consider them parent grades because they're just the, let's say, for example, Arabica. You can go into a gas station and see Arabica coffee.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I mean, that is, sure, it's Arabica coffee, and sure, Arabica is technically better than Typica, is what they, or what they call it, or better than Robusta, I suppose, a better grade. But at the same time, too, the grade of coffee you're getting there is
the lowest
possible grade, and probably mixed with something else that is terrible.
Right. And just, it's kind of like the shittiest, cheapest, just to get the job done.
Yeah, largely. But again, they can stamp the name Arabica on
it. Do they blend the coffee with other things that aren't coffee?
Oh, not that I know of. I hope not.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of rumors about little coke in your coffee from you know, Tim Hortons and those kind of places, which
yeah. a little cocaine.
Yeah.
That maybe is why people drink it.
Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it is.
It sure as hell ain't the flavor.
Or maybe people are just
But boring. I thought the Coke was in the sugar, so if you drink it black, you're okay.
That could be bad, too.
No, because if you drink it black, you spend 3 days on the toilet.
Regardless, you're spending 3 days on the toilet. Who's that? It's whether you're high on Coke or not at the same time.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the first one done the beer. I think this will be the first time on the podcast I will be the first one done my beer.
I'm really darn close, though.
I think what's also interesting is I haven't drunk a ton in the last couple of weeks, and I'm really feeling this.
Well, it's 13%, so I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, apparently.
I never thought I'd be drinking something made by Will Wheaton, though.
I know.
I didn't.
Is anyone TNG fans here?
I'm not really. I mean, no. I've seen enough of them, but...
None.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Keep in mind how young he is.
Right, there's that too. Mm-hmm. I grew up on it, hey? Like, that was my jam back in the day.
Wow. You're a Trekkie?
Yeah, man.
Really? I did not know that.
I actually... Okay, I don't know if neither of you are going to get this, but maybe someone who listens to this podcast will get this.
Uh-huh.
I hope, anyway. I was recently in a conversation, and someone mentioned the phrase, I think it's Darnak at Tanagra, and then no one else around the conversation could finish the sentence. And it was in total, like, out of left field that someone said this. And I just sat across the table when the walls fell, and just very calmly. And at that point, nothing else was said. It was just a gentle nod across the table. Yes, we both acknowledge how deep we are into this. And how that's a deep reference. Okay. That's a deep, deep reference.
I don't get it.
So they discovered an alien race that basically just talked in parallels to ancient stories. They didn't actually say what they were thinking. They just said things from stories of the past.
Right.
And that was supposed to communicate what was happening in the now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so Will Wheaton was made famous because of
Star Trek.
Yes.
And what was the show he was?
Stand By Me. He was in Stand By Me as well, too.
Okay.
So he's... Essentially, he has a website and tweets a lot now.
I was going to say,
he pretty much rides his whole nerd culture fame.
I followed him for a long time, and then eventually I got tired of it.
Right.
It's a shame. It's a shame.
Well, like, I mean, he was...
Wheaton will never be on the podcast now, because...
Realistically, I don't think that we have quite the audience that he's used to.
No, probably not. Like, I mean, I don't know. The guy's got pretty famous friends as well, too. Like, Chris Hardwick is an old roommate of his, and gets a lot of attention through that, so, yeah.
Huh. That's cool.
Chris Hardwick, another podcaster.
Yeah, exactly. We're all from the same... what's the word? What's the phrase?
Pedigree?
Yeah, exactly.
Cut from the same cloth?
Cut from the same cloth, that's it.
He might disagree with you.
Yeah.
He might disagree with
you. No? Okay.
Fine. I mean, maybe we'll get there. Mm-hmm. We have been around for 2 years. It's been
that's
a
true.
While.
That's more than most small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, go us. Not making any money on it, though. So, I guess...
That last hit was phenomenal.
Yeah,
I'm glad I
saw. Well, shall we move to the kitchen and watch Jared make some coffee and kind of explain
the process? I am actually, like, psyched for this.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, I'm pumped.
Let's do it. Well, I hope the coffee's good, and if it's no good, then...
Well, you don't try it?
No, I haven't. And so...
It could be terrible?
It could be terrible.
It could be terrible.
Like I said, we're taking the gamble here, so...
Okay, we'll figure it out.
But I might be the only one who knows that it's terrible. And so there's that, too.
What Jared is doing now is filling his kettle with water.
Yeah. It's really exciting.
I prefer to use filtered water, but I guess we can slum it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
is that actually a thing? Like, every single time you make coffee?
Yeah, it is actually a thing. And it's definitely a thing in cafes as well, too. They'll generally have their own kind of filtered water. And a lot of people think that you can use, like, water that's just kind of been... like bottled water that comes from like a plant or something like that.
Yeah.
That's had everything stripped out of it. Mm-hmm. But that's actually not the case. You really want a little bit of the minerals and that kind of stuff left in there to react with the coffee and gives you different flavors as well too.
Okay.
So generally, the best I guess, home idea for filtered water is just run it through your Brita.
Right.
And that's basically the best you can get at home anyway without having to go buy fancy mineral water. And professionals will bring their own water to competitions and those kind of things as well, too. So
really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
So for the coffee that I'm making today, again, this is a El Salvadorian coffee from San Gabriel. So it's nutty, stone fruit, and caramel clean are the characteristics of this one. And this is actually a bourbon variety. And
I like the sound of that.
And bourbon is kind of specific to the South American regions as well, too. It's that kind of variety that's kind of generally grown in South America. And there's lots of different varieties that are close to that. Caturra and Cajuai are also very similar. You can get red bourbon and yellow bourbon varieties as well, too.
Okay.
That's not to say that they are actually red or yellow in color.
Yeah.
Slightly that way, but not
yeah.
blatantly red or yellow. So I'm going to measure out my coffee beans first before I grind them, actually. And I'm measuring out, let's say, for three of us.
Yeah.
I'll probably do like 45-ish grams of coffee. Generally, you're about... The ratio is 15 to 1, so
right.
1 gram of coffee to 15 grams of water.
Okay.
That's kind of general, so we'll each get a cup out of this.
Now, with drinking beer, the glass that you drink out of is pretty, with most styles, I've never seen anything go orange before, is very important to the taste. Like, you know, you should drink most things out of a...
the proper glass.
Yeah, you should use a proper glass,
right?
Is it to get the best taste?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing with coffee?
Well,
because if it is, well, you should have one.
Yes and no. like, I mean, ideally, I drink out of a ceramic mug just because it keeps the coffee warmer longer. But whatever, it's a coffee mug. They mostly just look pretty on the outside or have those kind of things. Your almond's burning a little bit. Hey, what'd you spill down there?
I have no clue.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just gonna put the filter into the coffee maker.
And now, what kind of filter is this?
This is just a regular paper filter. And now it's a bit of a thicker one, which actually the reason that it's thicker is it actually helps to kind of take out some of the impurities and gives you much cleaner.
Okay, so now you're pouring water in it without.
Without coffee in it. So I'm wetting the filter down. This helps to warm up the glass as well. And it also helps to keep the filter where it's supposed to be when I actually start doing the pouring in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to dump that out so it doesn't mix with our coffee afterwards. Now, I have a burr grinder here. And this is a Baratza Encore, which is a pretty typical home burr grinder. Nothing stupidly fancy. And I'm kind of grinding this to about... what we'd call a drip grind, or kind of like a medium grind. So, kind of halfway in between what espresso and, let's say, a French press would be in. Like.
Mm-hmm.
So, let that go for a little bit here.
So, what's kind of the difference between the grinders? Because I know there's a difference. You specifically had said at one point to use this type.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a burr grinder.
No, I can see it here. It's not. Yes.
Obviously, I know that they're better.
Yeah. Why are they better?
Mm-hmm.
They are better because they're crushing the bean more than they are chopping it.
Uh-huh.
So you're actually getting more even particles, which gives you more even extraction during the actual brewing process.
Mm-hmm.
With a blade grinder, you can end up with kind of big chunks and really, really powdered chunks. And some gets over-extracted, some doesn't get extracted at all. So this kind of helps to maintain an even extraction.
Yeah. Okay.
All the way through.
Okay.
Now, with this, this process is probably going to take about, for 45 grams, probably 3.5 to 4 minutes or so.
Okay.
Kind of all told. And so we're measuring out...
So you have it on the scale.
Yeah,
I have
it on the scale here now.
So you measure a specific amount of water?
Yes, and I just measure on water as well, too. So if anyone can do the math on this, I've got 45 grams of coffee in here, and I want to add 15
mil
15
water
per gram.
Gram.
So 45 times 15, 675 grams of water is what we're going to pour over this.
Right.
Over the course of probably a 2-minute period altogether.
And what temperature are you looking for?
Yeah, so I modified my kettle here to actually have a thermometer built into it.
Mm-hmm.
And generally the best... range is 205 degrees to 195 degrees, somewhere in between.
Fahrenheit?
Yes, I believe so. Is that right?
Fair yeah, because boiling for yes. water is 100 degrees Celsius.
Yes, so Fahrenheit. Yes. And
we have more American listeners anyways.
I was going to say, this is great. I was like, I have no idea what that is in real degrees, but hey.
And that's kind of the ideal temperature for extracting anyway. I like to go a little bit on the higher end
mm-hmm.
because as the water cools, I don't have a constant heating system.
Right.
It just kind of maintains a little bit of a higher...
Now, okay, so you mentioned the ratio of coffee to water.
Yeah.
What would you, like, if you wanted it stronger, you would just add more coffee? Or is that kind of the...
It's the first way. Well,
yeah.
This is kind of the golden mean, anyway.
Right.
You can play around with those ratios to what your taste is,
mm-hmm.
You know, to a certain degree, right? Some people take an 18 to 1, some people do, 16 to 1. 15 to 1 is kind of the agreed upon gold standard, anyway, for...
Mm-hmm.
for those kind of things. But, like, I mean, again, it does change. It does change the way the coffee comes out. And for different coffees, you might want to change up that ratio as well, too.
Hmm.
Depends on your taste and the coffee itself, too.
Right.
Now, one of the other things I should talk about is that for this process, I'll actually do a pre-infusion. So I'll pour just a little bit of water on all the grounds to wet them. And you'll see as we, when we brew, that actually expand. The grounds will actually expand quite a bit. And that's the coffee actually... off-gassing and letting off the CO2 that's kind of trapped inside there. So you'll see a little bit of that go first. And pre-infusing just helps to actually provide for even extraction too while we're actually doing the full-on brew as well too.
So how long of a process is it for you to make coffee every morning? It doesn't seem like complicated or anything like that, but it just seems...
It's
more hands-on, so I'm just curious if it's the same amount of time.
It's exactly this.
This
is as long as it's going to take me every morning.
Okay.
So I've zeroed out my my scale here, and I'm going to start my timer, which is built into my scale. And so I'll actually just wet the grounds here with a pre-infusion. And you guys can come take a look at this and see that it's actually going to rise a little bit here.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's actually rising quite a bit up. And this is kind of just pre-infusing, and again, it's off-gassing a little bit. And I'll let this kind of sit for probably about 30 to 40 seconds, depending on... As soon as it stops rising, that's when it's about ready to start actually starting the actual pouring process.
Now, when was this roasted? Because it does not appear.
Oh, no, that was on the bag. So what's today? Today is the
7th?
9th? Yeah, so it was roasted on the 30th. So we're actually in a reasonable time here.
Okay.
You know, that was on the other part of the bag that I cut off. So I'm pouring over top of the coffee right now, kind of in a circular pattern, just making sure that everything is actually submerged. And you want to kind of make sure that everything actually keeps submerged throughout the entire process. So what this is actually doing is I'm actually making sure that there's a constant water column on top of the coffee, making sure that the extraction is going to be even kind of all the way throughout. And pouring in a circle actually helps to agitate it just a little bit, just to help to get the process going just a little bit. And you can see I'm measuring out the grams at the same time as I'm timing it. So I probably want to stop pouring this probably around the 2.5 minute mark, and I'll just let it kind of drain from there. So I got to get 675 grams by about 2.5 to 3-ish minutes or so. And after that, I'm going to actually just give it a little stir to agitate it again. And I have my custom stirring paddle here, which is actually just a butter knife. Well, a proper butter knife, not...
I was going to say, that's the proper butter knife.
I find that it's angled perfectly for my coffee brewing purposes here. So,
okay.
Yeah. So basically, what this is doing, as opposed to what your coffee machine is doing, coffee machine can actually get up to the proper temperature. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
even get that high to 195. So you're under brewing it right off the bat with that, and then it's also kind of spraying water kind of in spurts all the way throughout, not maintaining a constant temperature over top of it. So, I'm at 630 here, and I want it to go up 2.5 minutes, so it should be just on par for...
Now, so, okay, the temperature is obviously very important.
Yeah.
Surely there is some cooling while it's in the kettle,
the
air temperature when you're pouring,
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's why I like to start at around 205, and that way I make sure that I'm at least above 200 by the time it's actually brewing through.
Okay.
So, now at this stage, I'm just going to... give the sides just a little bit of a quick wipe here, just to make sure none of the grounds stick on the sides. Not too hard, just kind of gently, and then stir the middle here just to kind of give it a little bit of agitation again too. And then from there we'll let everything kind of drain out. And that will give us three nice sized cups of coffee. Not your giant You know, no. double cup of coffee.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I have what people call an ulcer. which is not from stress or vast quantities of liquor.
Okay.
Just a genetic thing. So I like to just drink a little bit of coffee. That's really fucking good. And
that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that, that makes sense.
Yeah. See, there you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we're
that's what we're doing. And we're going to enjoy it.
We're going to enjoy it.
We're going to eat bacon and eggs. So
yeah,
it's going to be good.
I should talk a little bit about the kettle itself, too. The kettle is actually a gooseneck kettle, which it's got this kind of fancy little legit gooseneck coming out of the bottom of it, which allows me to pour much more slowly, which is why I can actually pour exactly 675 grams over 2 minutes and actually be accurate and maintain a slow pour instead of just dumping water on every once in a while to just a little more... little more control.
And how much, because you said it was going to cost about $400 for kind of that setup, what would be the most expensive out of all the...
The grinder is most expensive.
The grinder?
Yeah, generally these ones run for around $150.
Okay.
That's pretty general. You can probably find them online or on Amazon, cheaper than that on a good day. The scale I have is actually a specific scale for doing this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually $75 to $80, $90-ish dollars. The Chemex itself is probably about $50. Nothing really too crazy. And the kettle itself, if you're running around $75 to $80 again. But then again, like, I mean, this is also an induction kettle as well too, so that brings up the price as well from there. So, and of course, everything's made in Japan, so there's that to deal with. And the grinder is made in Italy, and or maybe this one's probably Korean or something like that. I don't know, but it's got an Italian name on it. We're just about done here.
The filters you use, is there any specific...
Well, the Chemex filters themselves are branded the way they are.
Just use those straight up those and they're good?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you can't really find anything else for this brewer anyway. I like to give it a little swish before we start pouring just to make sure that some of the different stages of the coffee are actually mixed together.
Mm-hmm.
What's kind of interesting to do is if you can, you can get like a kind of a sock brewer or like a cloth. And if you brew coffee into different cups of water over the course of like, let's say a 4 minute brew or a 3.5 minute brew kind of thing, you'll actually see the different, you know, I guess extractions of the coffee itself. So lighter to darker all the way through as you're extracting more and more out of the coffee. And then again, you have different characteristics. So obviously you can get the different mouthfeels and the different sweetnesses and the bitternesses that you actually see in a coffee. And it's a great way to actually be able to, you know what you're looking for in a coffee as well, too, after, you know, all is said and done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to actually get into tasting coffees and actually properly cupping them the same way you would get into beers as well,
yeah,
too, right?
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it's like doing a vertical of one vintage.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's largely the same idea, right? So.
Uh-huh.
All right, boys, some coffee here for you.
Thank you very much.
You want to let that cool just a little bit, first of all, because
amazing.
Yeah, same with beers, right? You start to get more flavors as we actually, you know, sometimes warm down the stouts anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Old beer, I think you probably get more flavor as it warms up. It's just some of them
just taste worse. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if you can smell the kind of the nuttiness in here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You should get more of the caramel as soon as you start drinking it. I have no fucking idea what stone fruit tastes like, because we can't get stone fruit.
Never
had it. Are they just trying to, like, stone fruits in general, or, like...
Oh, is it that way to stone
fruits?
So
like,
oh, I thought it was actually, like,
no,
stone
fruits. Like plums and
right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, plums is... that I can definitely see in here. Okay. I always assume stone fruit was, like some sort of
fruit
that I can't get somewhere.
No. At least that's always been my assumption. I don't know. Maybe there is something called stone fruit.
It's pretty good to drink. It's okay.
He's disappointed.
Sorry.
Thinking it's really good, and he's disappointed.
I want to get your reactions first.
It tastes really good to me.
I'll come in.
It's so smooth.
It is very smooth.
That's the beans and the process.
A little
bit of both.
Because, you know, with coffee, especially drinking it black, it's like, oh, you're drinking coffee black. It's so bitter.
Right.
You know, you associate this kind of sharpness to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's really, really smooth.
Yeah. You're not getting those kind of, like,
I mean, you get that a lot with over-roasting as well, too. A lot of that bitterness comes out there. And again, when it's been sitting on a burner for, 20 minutes, you'll get that from there. This isn't as clean or clear as I would like it to be. Mm-hmm. Usually with the Chemex, you're getting a cleaner cup of coffee because that filter is a lot thicker, which is kind of one of the nice things about the Chemex. But at the same time, too, this is a little bit muddy, in my opinion, anyway, as far as a cup goes. But that being said, it could be...
It tastes fantastic.
Yeah. It could be a bit of a lower grade of bean, or it could be, I don't know what kind of roaster they're using. Maybe it possibly is a bit of a dirty roaster or something like that as well, too. So I have no clue about this. That's guesses off the top of my head. So
It's one of the best cup of coffees out of that.
Yeah.
If not the best.
No, that being said, it's still good. You're still getting, you're definitely getting the caramel now. Lots of the nuttiness. It's got a bit of a drier mouthfeel.
It's very dry, actually.
Yeah.
Which is not always the case, but is going to be the case typically with these kind of coffees.
There's almost like some fruitiness in there.
Mm-hmm. Stone fruit.
Stone fruit, I guess.
And sometimes you can tell if you've kind of fucked up your brew with this kind of process anyway, if it gets kind of a grassy feel, if you get that grassy taste to it.
Okay.
Which, the dryness would be amplified way more than what it is now. And then you'll actually really get, a really grassy feel to it. And that's generally a case of either letting it brew too long, or often you'll have it not at the proper temperature. Maybe your temperature was too low for it actually to properly infuse. In the brew here, so.
That's delicious.
That's really good.
So, we just started making breakfast.
We just started making breakfast.
Breakfast, yeah.
So, Jared, where can we find you on the internet?
Oh, geez. I am at Jared L. Falk on the Twitters. My Instagram is JL Falk. I haven't quite branded myself properly.
Yeah, get it together, really.
What? There's a drummer named Jared Falk who has everything possibly. He's pretty famous in that kind of world, so...
Well,
it's tough for me out there, guys.
It's tough for the Jared Falks of the world.
Yeah, exactly. It really is. So that's where you can find me.
I guess if there's any coffee questions, just tweet at them.
Do that. I used to have a coffee and cycling blog. I used to be a bike mechanic back in the day.
Okay.
So it was called Caffeine and Cantilevers. I didn't update that anymore. So you can find a lot of cool coffee things on there, but no new content. So have fun with that.
And you can find me at Adrian Trimble on Twitter, and also Adrian Trimble on Instagram.
Oh, look at you.
Because there is nobody interesting called Adrian Trimble. I did find once a blog by a guy called Adrian Trimble who lived in South Africa.
Okay. Maybe he was roasting coffee beans.
Maybe. Who knows?
There's not a lot of coffee beans in South Africa. I'm not going to lie.
Wrong
planet.
Yeah. You get further north.
Whatever.
I'm not the expert. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Senquist as well. And thanks everybody for listening to this episode of Pub Chat. I think I learned a lot of coffee knowledge.
Absolutely.
And we're going to make ourselves breakfast for dinner.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cheers.
Prost.